I may not be, it may not be exactly what we came here to hear this morning, but I felt the moving of the Spirit. The Lord had given us this little message, and I don't think I have ever preached it in the years of my ministry. So I need your prayers that the Lord will help me to be able to have the right words.
Yes, amen.
We've written on the board this morning a scripture that is found in Ezekiel. And it says for us to show the house to the house. Church of God. Church of God is a wonderful church. This song is a little message within itself. The church has one foundation. If ever there was a time that you and I needed to be reestablished in that belief, it is now. It is being contested every day. Our young people, the Lord has given us such a burden in our congregation for the few little young people that we have. And I tell the congregation, he's given us a series of messages. We've preached about 8 messages on the fruits of the corrupt tree. And I told the congregation, I said, you older ones have had a chance to hear it. But the younger ones need to be established, and they need to hear these things preached. So the young people this morning, you need to have it established also. You that are older, we have heard it. But now it's time for the next generation. There is only one foundation to the Church of God. And there are not many churches out there that are right. There is one church. But the devil is coming against the Church of God. We're living in a religious world. We're living in a time that we're encompassed about with religion, with many people who are professing the name of Christ, and that's in God's hands. What they do and how God judges them, that's His business. But my business is to keep myself pure and clean in my mind, in my heart, in my beliefs. Keep my vision clear. That's my responsibility. That's your responsibility because we have tasted of the pureness of the Church of God. I want to read a scripture and then I want to come back to this song. Proverbs 29, verse 18, says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. One of the translations, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. It says, the people are unrestrained. The people cast off restraint where there's no vision. When you and I lose the vision of the true Church of God, we'll lose all restraints. That's the word of the Lord. In addition to you and me needing to keep a vision of the truth and the Church of God, we also need to be conscious of what the church really is. And how it has always been and always will be. It will not change. He is coming back for a people that is without spot and wrinkle. And He will have a people in the earth. He will. Now it's up to you and me whether we are of that people. But we're living in such a time where so many things are being contested. Faith, confidence, zeal? Have you ever seen the zeal, spiritual zeal, at such a low ebb? How has it been in the past? We're going to read about it a little bit. But I want to give you one of the verses of this song before we go any farther. Because what you and I have faced, it has been faced before. We're not the only people that have come to this stage and this age, and the song proves it. It says, long with a scornful wonder, men saw her, the church, sore oppressed. By schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed. What do you think that felt like at that age? What do you think the people felt when they saw the church in that state? It was in that state. The scripture bears it out. The church was in a critical place. Has been many times down through the life and history of the church. Yet saints their watch was keeping. Did you know God had a people all the way down through all of that? He had a people that was faithful. I remember when I was teaching in the school and I felt like that I needed some little courses of college to help me. I did not have a college degree. Came to the point that I really needed some help in the algebra. But history was one of my favorite subjects, and so it worked out in the schedule that I could take two classes, and I took American history to 1877. And I was pleased with the way that it went right along with the ACE paces. I was pleased with that. It helped me in my teaching of the older students. And I don't know if my instructor was a Catholic or not, but I presume that he was. Because even through all of the class, he talked about the mother church being the Catholic Church. You know, it really disturbed my mind. Here I was, probably the only one in that class that had any so-called vision of the Church of God. And I was hearing these lectures every time I went about the Mother Church. I went home and got on my knees because I had to have something to endure and come out untainted. I got on my knees and began to ask the Lord to give me a vision of the Church of God. And the Lord did that. And every time I went into that class and those kind of lectures came up, there was a red flag that came up in my mind. And I held steady all the way through that. And I came out still with a better vision of the Church of God than ever before. The Church of God is pure and has always been there. Whether the history books proclaim it or not, that doesn't mean it was completely annihilated. The Church of God was, throughout there was a strain. Here's how the Lord just showed it to me. There was a little strain that went all the way down through history. And just because men and women of that time did not see it, did not mean it was not there. It was there. And it is there today. God still has a people. A people who are faithful to the standards, to the doctrines, to the teachings, to the Word of God, to God Himself, to the church. God still has a faithful people. Satan is abounding. I will not deny that. Satan wants to hinder our services. He wants to put a cloud over the services. He wants to hamper the singing. He wants to hinder the minister. And he does. We cannot deny it. We feel the very oppression of Satan at times, trying to crush down the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. You see, we're in a battle of right against wrong and wrong against right. That's what we're in a battle for. We're battling for the truth and right. That's what we're here for. But the devil does not want the church to progress. He wants to kill the bride. He wants to destroy it in the earth. It's up to you and me if the church of God survives. Do you believe that? It's in our hands. It's in your hands. It's in my hands. What I do with it, how I believe it, how I handle it, how I work with it, how I work with my fellow ministers, how I work with the church of God, with the lay people. It's in my hands if it continues. It's the truth. It's happened before. It will happen again. The church was divided. Anderson, we all know the history of this. It was a serious division. It caused great hurt. It caused the saints, the few that held to the truth, it caused them to be isolated to some extent. They didn't really have the church buildings where to go to meet together. They met in their homes together. It had an effect. It had a profound effect. Division will always have a serious effect on the church of God and on your soul and my soul. And God hates division. He hates division. Let's continue on now with some of the word of the Lord. And I must not apologize that it's not a healing message. I ask you that if you're here for healing, I'd like for the message to encourage your faith. It's part of the church, part of the truth, part of the gospel. I'd like to turn to Haggai. I'm going to read part of this out of the 26 translations, just so that it can help the children and all of us to have a little clear understanding of it. Second chapter. It says, in the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the high priest, and to the residue of the people. What do you think that means, the residue of the people? That word residue means remnant. What is a remnant? A remnant is just a little part of something that was once a whole. Are we a remnant this morning? Do you feel like you're part of a remnant, just a small piece? Verse 3 says, I want you to speak this now to the residue of the people. Who is there left among you that saw the temple in its former glory? And how does it look to you now? Does it seem nothing to you? Different translation here, but it means the same. How do you see the church this morning? Have you been so affected and so discouraged by the events of the last number of years that you don't quite see it as clear as you once did? You and I can be affected. We're human beings of the earth. We have our human emotions, our feelings. We have our own mind. We have our own ideas and opinions. Did you know that we need to be shown the house this morning? The young people, maybe all of us here this morning, need to be reminded of what that house really is and was and will be. Past, present, future of the church. We need it this morning. I need it. I need it for my own soul's salvation. I want to see it in its purity and its clarity. And where is it? Is there anybody here this morning, any that are left among you, that saw the temple in its former glory? I certainly don't want to be negative about the church of God, but I'm old enough to say that I have seen it come through some phases. I'm old enough to say I remember how it once was even in my lifetime. And that concerns me when I see certain changes and degrees of changes. It concerns me because I'm looking at these young people and I'm saying, they're saying, this is the church. And this says, is there any of you left here that has seen it in its former glory? Did you know we have very few really old people here among the church that can even tell us what it was in their lifetime? We have hearsays. We have a testimony yesterday of the brother that prayed for the other brother and his foot turned around. We have that. Healings, miracles, they happened. They happened. It was part of the power of the Church of God. But where was that power? It was in the people. It was in those who were seeking after God with their whole heart, without reservation. Their faith being strengthened and established and settled. And they weren't moved from the gospel. And they weren't moved from the truth. And they weren't trying to hang on to the world and try to hang on to God too. And they weren't going to the doctors and praying at the same time. God help us. I am burdened about that. I'm not condemning anyone, but I am burdened for the lack of those that are even older, not willing to trust God for those of us that are coming on. Oh, God, help us. I never dreamed in my short ministry. When I started out, I never dreamed I would be in certain places that I have been with some of the older ones. I never dreamed that it would come to this. What is our vision of the Church of God? It's still the same. No matter who does what, and God is a merciful God. I don't want to diminish any of His mercy and His compassions. I know that they're new every morning. I know that they fail not. But listen, we need a vision this morning of the Church of God. We need to be shown the house. We need to see it for what it really is, what it was, what it is, and what it will be. Listen, if this thing continues in the course that it is going, these young people that are here, they're going to say, that's the only way to do. You go get your operations, you go get your medicines, and yet you pray for them. Faith is more than that. Divine faith is full trust in God. Amen. We had some testimonies yesterday of some that have found on their bodies life-threatening things. I didn't know I was going to say all this. I am submitted to the will of the Lord and the message. I've begged the Lord to give us the right words, and I cannot apologize for them. And I do not mean to offend or step on anyone's toes or make anyone feel bad. This is the word of the Lord. I had a testimony also a number of months ago. I was taking a shower, and I found something on my body. I want to tell you that immediately it was just like something hot went from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, because I had been working with someone that had something just about like that for years. Went ahead and died, not trusting the Lord. But you know, I didn't leave that shower until I had made a consecration. Live or die. Lord, whatever you want. Whatever you want. My body is yours. My life is yours. And you know, I left that shower with peace. I didn't have any more turmoil of my mind. Oh, I admit I had great turmoil of my mind when I first found it. Our consecrations this morning is going to bring us peace. If we put it in the hands of God, we don't have to worry about the future. We know who holds the future. Thank the Lord. But my testimony was that in just about 2 months ago, the Lord took care of that thing. And I praise the Lord for it. He's still on His throne. He still has power. To those who will believe. To those who will believe. We may come back to this scripture. Incidentally, this scripture, this reading here in Haggai, it had to do with the children of Israel that had been in captivity. The original temple had been destroyed, and they were asked to return and to rebuild. Let's go ahead and read the rest of this. It's not very much here. Verse 4, yet now be strong, saith the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land. I'm going to skip on down just a little bit. For I am with you. Verse 5, according to the word that I covenanted, my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. Now I may come back to that a little bit later. But the other scripture that I wanted to read is in Micah. No, it isn't. It's a Ezekiel, I'm sorry. About lost my place there. The third chapter. I want to start reading about verse 10, I think. No, I'm in the wrong book. I've written down the wrong book. I think it is Ezra. Somebody might... Let me see if I'm correct in this. The enemy does not want this to go forth. I ask you to pray for me. It's Ezra. We read to you there in Haggai about them asking if they had seen the first glory. Now we've come to the building of it. Verse 10 says, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priest in their apparel with their trumpets, and the Levites with the cymbals, and to praise the Lord, after the ordinance of the King David of Israel, and they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel, because the foundation of the house. And all of the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But when the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. Oh, what do you think of that? Oh, when they saw it coming back together, their reaction was weeping. They were the ancient men. They were the ones that had seen the first glory of this building. Oh, let's remember the first glory. Let's not let it slip from us. Let's hold on to it. I need a drink of water. Let's hold on to the first glory. You know, the scripture says, and sometimes we may hold on to a scripture that says, we're not to compare ourselves among ourselves, that it is not wise. That's among ourselves. Don't ever forget that. It's not wise for me to compare myself among my brethren. If someone is farther ahead than me or farther behind than me, and I say to myself, well, I can live like this one back here. No, I've got to live with the light that I have. And I might be looking at the one that is up ahead and saying, oh, but I can't be this because they're up here. We're to look at one another and say, I want to reach forward. I want to be as they are. I want to be, it should be a challenge to us. But at no point are we to compare ourselves among ourselves. It is not wise. We need to walk in the light as we have the light and abide in it. But I want to tell you, when it comes to the church of God, we can compare it. The church, the glory of it, what it stands for, what it has stood for, what it should stand for, we can compare that. These ancient men were looking upon the new foundation and they were weeping for the glory that they were seeing, for the glory that once was. And it says, and so that the people could not discern the shout, the loud joy, the joy was, it said, the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. They were mingled together, you see. Another generation. Here's an older generation weeping for the joy of it. And yet here's a younger generation coming on and for the joy of this vision, shouting. And they could not discern the separation of the weeping and the shouting. Oh, God wants us to all be in this thing together, the older ones that have seen the glory of the church. Let's pass it down to the younger ones that they can be rejoicing in it as well. Oh, the church of God is still the same. Where is your vision? Without the vision, you're going to be unrestrained. Lord, help us. I want to go to Isaiah now, the 6th chapter. I want to start reading at verse 8. I heard a voice. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Oh, we can all say that. I remember one time a number of years ago, while I was working at the school there in the city, we had a visitor. And we were all having prayer together. And this young man vehemently used this text in his prayer and left a great impression on me. No drawback. Here am I. Send me. Let me be the one to do the work. I spoke a moment ago. I said something about the zeal being at a low ebb. Nearly every service we've heard an exhortation to the liberty of the Spirit of the Lord and the duties that He's calling us to do, whether it's cleaning the restrooms or working in the kitchen or exhortation or prayer or ministry, liberty. And we all have something to do. Zeal. How is your zeal? No one can really tell you how your zeal is. But you're sitting here this morning and you're able to examine your own life. And I'm going to ask you to do that. I'm going to ask you to compare yourself with yourself. How you once were. I want you to look back 10 years ago. If you were saved 10 years ago, that's not very long ago. I want you to ask yourself, where was my zeal then? Was I really into the work of the Lord? Was my heart really in it? Did I want to be in service every time the door opened? Did you know I see this failing? I see this failing. I see some who 10 years ago were faithful to be in service every time the door was open. Unless they were sick, they were there. I know there's a number of you here today from small congregations. How was it 10 years ago? Well, most of us, we probably have a fair number that'll come out on Sunday morning. There are people that'll go on Sunday morning that won't go any other time, even from relatives and so forth. How is it on Sunday night? Wednesday night? I have a feeling it's not one bit different in your congregations than it is in ours. Did you know that the Lord knows the faithful ones? Did you know the pastor knows the faithful ones and can name them? It's so. I wonder how the congregations would feel if the pastors carried out their responsibilities in the same way that some of the lay folks do. Don't feel a need to be in service on Sunday night. I want to tell you something. I cannot tell you the number of times that the Lord has given a message on Sunday night and a real burden for an individual and they never be there. And I come away and I say, Lord, why? And the Lord said, they're still responsible. I sent the word, but they didn't come to hear it. Oh, that's a grave place. Zeal. How's your zeal? Has it been waning? Did you know that there's a temptation in the ministers to also let it wane? I don't think that I'm any different from the rest. I have to confess to you that recently I was tempted for us to close down our Sunday night services. The interest was so low. I can name to you right now the ones that I can depend on to be there. I can name them. And I was so discouraged about it that I said to my husband, I said, I think it's probably coming to a time that we'll just close the doors on Sunday night. Oh, the Lord reproved me. I came back to him and I said, honey, the Lord said, we are not to close our doors, even if it's just you and me there. And his answer was this, you're right, honey. Let's not do it on our watch. Ministers, be encouraged. Be there if nobody else is, till the Lord comes. I intend to do that till the Lord comes. Oh, praise God for the grace of God. But we're continuing on. But even then, as the Lord began to give me this message, he brought to my mind the zeal. My own zeal. Did you know that you can have zeal if you want it? Did you know if right now you're sensing in yourself that my zeal has waned, that you can get down on your knees and ask for it? Because I did. I said, Lord, revive my zeal. Revive me. And then this morning, the Lord gave me this song that was sung here as special. Revive the church today. I hadn't heard that song in years. Now, I confess to you that I called and asked them for that song, but I said, let the Lord lead you. I don't know when the Lord wants this message. I had no idea they were going to get up and sing this song today. I was sitting there just, my mind somewhere else, and here they get up and sing the song, and that's my cue. And I said, Lord, help me. Revive the church today. Revive the people. Revive the zeal. Oh, have you noticed? Oh, please, whoever leads the singing, I'm not condemning song leaders at all, but I want to tell you, our singing is just suppressed compared to what it once was. Oh, I've been in camp meeting, even at Monarch, and heard louder singing than what I heard this summer. The devil is trying to suppress even our singing. When we get down to pray, is it your opportunity to get a few winks of sleep? Oh, let me tell you, I'm showing you the house. The glory that it once was. Did you know we'll have power? If when we all get down to pray and our hearts are in it and our zeal is there and we're saying amen, Lord help, we're in agreement. I want to tell you, we want some answers. That's the answer. And all it takes is you and me stirring ourselves when we get down to pray and say, I'm not going to let myself go to sleep. Too much silence. People walking in would think we're a bunch of dead people. We need to be revived. We need our zeal reinstated. I want to tell you a burden, and I've talked to the ministers about this at Monarch. It's a real burden to my heart. The lack of support from ministers when a message is going forth. There was a time, I challenge you to get a hold of some old tapes and listen to the background noise. Listen to it. You'll be hearing shouting. You'll be hearing praises. You'll be hearing amen. You'll be hearing, preach the word, brother. And you come in, and sometimes we hardly have one amen. Oh, this, I'm showing you the house. I'm showing you the glory. We can have it again. We can be revived. Lord, revive the church today. Revive us. Oh, I want this message to go out to other congregations. Our congregation is no different from the rest. I have one person that'll say amen during my message. Occasionally one other. And I have a few that will shake their heads yes. And that sort of helps. But do you know the Lord had to bring me to a place that it did? I just do not depend on amens or shakes of the head. I just don't depend on it. The word of the Lord is the word of the Lord. And I want to tell you something else. And sometimes this really troubles me. I've had to fight a real battle over this. Labor to get a message. Oh, let me take that back. That sounds like I'm putting myself in there. Forget I said that. The Lord give a message. Cannot tell one bit if anybody got anything at all. Can't look at their faces and tell. Come Wednesday night, there is nobody that ever gets up, rarely. The Lord sent me a message Sunday morning. It was just for me. I began to say, Lord, what is it? Are these messages any what you want? I had a real battle over that. Are you listening? Are you sitting there thinking about what I'm going to do tonight or tomorrow or next week or what I did yesterday? When you and I allow our minds to be so easily engulfed with everything else, the word of the Lord just goes through one ear and out the other. I used to tell that to a little Sunday school class that I had. It was Velvet. And they all say, they'll remember me in school for saying, draw your mind in. We need a sign up here in all of our congregations that says, draw your mind in. Because the word of the Lord is going over your head. And it's not stopping anywhere in the middle to get down here. And I used to tell them that. I said, don't let the Sunday school class, don't let the lesson just go through one ear and out the other. There's a reason we need to be revived. The church of God, it's going to go on, but there's only going to be a few. Are you going to be the few? Or are you going to allow life to sway you? Take you. You're still coming and sitting in the pews, barely singing the songs. Oh, here's another one. When was the last time you raised your hand in song? Oh, look at some of the old pictures. I'm showing you the house. Do you know why you can't hold your hand up in song? You're not getting it in your secret closet. If you're doing it in your secret life, if you're getting in touch with the Lord in your secret life, you'll come here and those songs, you can't keep your hand down. It's in here. It's saying, that's me. I've got that victory. Oh, listen.
God has it for you if you want it. Your zeal can be revived. The fire can be rekindled. It can happen. Here am I. Send me. I want to read the rest of this to you now. And he said, go and tell this people. Who is the people? The church of God. The message this morning says, go and tell this people. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. Did you expect to hear that message? Hear, but you're not going to understand? One translation says, though you hear my words repeatedly, you won't understand them. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Though you watch and watch as I perform my miracles, still you won't know what they mean. Verse 10. For the heart of this people fat, make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes. Did you know some of you that are here today under the sound of the gospel is going to be in this state? Unless you do something about it. Unless you seek the Lord to be revived. Unless you seek God to have the zeal once again. This is the state. It says, for the heart of this people is stupefied, and their ears are dull of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Young people, I know it's probably not an exciting message. I haven't said anything to tickle your ears. I haven't told a joke. I haven't told a funny story. And I know that it's hard to hold your attention on something that sounds like this. You have a choice. Wherever there's young people sitting this morning, you have a choice. You can sit in the pews and you can say, oh, why did that one have to get up? I can't even stand the sound of their voice. They're so monotonous and they always say the same thing. And so we get out our little papers and we start writing little notes. And something has been said that was for you. I have been in services where it didn't seem highly anointed. What do we do with it? Do you get your part? Even if it's not anointed, did you know you can? I remember Brother Chuck. He would have little meetings with us younger ministers. And he included me and my husband in that. And I appreciated it. But he taught me something that I've never forgotten. He said that he learned it from somebody else. We can learn from each other. We must learn from each other. We are not to be independent people off on little tangents. And I've got to get mine from just the Lord. You and I need to get it from each other and the Spirit of the Lord that is working in us and through us. But he told us about this older minister. And I don't believe he was a minister. Just an older brother. Always said, I believe he said on the front seat. He said no matter what kind of a message went forth, that brother was amening the message. He was getting his part. And I got a hold of that. I'm going to get my part. It can just be one scripture, but it'll be my part. And this morning, we can get a part if we will listen. Otherwise, our hearts will be stupefied, our ears will be dull of hearing, and we will have shut our eyes. Then said I, Lord, how long? He answered and said, until cities fall in ruins and are deserted. That's another translation. Until the cities are in ruin and are deserted. What are the cities? Our congregations. The little congregations. Is it happening? The dull ears? The shut eyes? Did you know that's why Sunday night and Wednesday night is the way that it is? People have shut their ears and closed their eyes. And there's a reason. God's allowing it. Because their hearts are not turned toward Him. Their heart is stupefied. Their heart is not reaching out to the truth, to more of the truth, to be fed. They're not hungry. They have feasted up on other things. They are wanting the ball games. They have fed upon the entertainments of the world. And now this does not seem entertaining at all. And it's not entertaining. But if your heart is not stupefied today, and if your eyes are opened, you'll find food. You'll be filled. You'll be revived. Did you know that natural food revives us? We can go so long, you know. I may not look like it, but some days I forget to eat. I get so busy. I just work, 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 and all of a sudden look at the clock and, well, no wonder I'm hungry. And I almost feel weak. And I'll go in and get me a little something to eat, and well, I just feel revived and I go again. That's what the word of the Lord does for us spiritually. That's what coming to service does for us. He told us in His word, don't, I say neglect, but what's the word? Forsake. But it just about means the same thing. Neglect, forsake, whatever you want to say. The assembling of yourselves together. What's the rest of that verse? Much more so, as the manner of people are doing, it said that. As ye what? As you see the day approaching. Do you see the day approaching? Do you have a vision of the time that we're living in? Are you awake and alert to the time that we're living in? I want to tell you, we all got past the year 2000. Or rather 1999. In anticipation of the year 2000, I for one was looking for the Lord. I had been for years. My mother says I've been looking for the Lord since I was a little girl. I've always wanted to be here to see the Lord come. And so it came down closer to the year 1999 and the end of that year, and I just really felt like, oh, surely the Lord's going to come. I hate to tell you, but I've gone several years. I prayed for the Lord to come. The Lord's taught me a little bit better to trust Him in that time. But we got past it. I sense it in myself. You think I wanted to put new carpet in my house in 1999? I didn't want new carpet to be there when the Lord came. I didn't do it. Got past it. The carpet still got older and older. We had to do it. We did it this last week. Now the Lord will probably come, my new carpet. Yes. But let me tell you, we got past that place and we went on living. And I had a message I'll never forget at the first Sunday of the year 2000. It was January the 1st. And the big headlines in the Oklahoma City paper. And life goes on. And here we are coming almost 2 years past that. And life has went on. And it hasn't ended. But where are we spiritually? See, I went out and got my new carpet. Material thing of life. It's going to burn up. It's not going to matter one bit. I looked at it. I hate to tell you what I said. My other carpet was over 20 years old. I wasn't tired of it, but it was time. And I looked at this and I said, I wonder if this will last 20 years. A material thing. What about my soul in 20 years? If zeal is at a low ebb right now, where will I be in 20 years? Will my heart be stupefied? Will my eyes be closed and my ears dull? That's what happens. Until the cities are deserted. Did you know what time we're really living in? It's the shaking time. What happens in a shaking time? When you go out and shake a tree, when you go out and you shake a fruit tree, the things fall off. The fruit that is barely hanging on falls off. That's the time we're living in, and God's allowing it. And these that have allowed their ears to be closed and shut, dull of hearing, and their eyes to be shut, they're falling off, and they don't really realize it. It says, until the cities fall in ruins and are deserted, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Is that happening? Do you have your spiritual eyes open that you can see what is happening? It can happen to me. If I don't keep my spiritual life alive, I don't keep my zeal. And the Lord remove men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet it shall be a tenth. I read all of that to give you that part. Praise God. What is the tenth? What is the tenth? Say it. It's what? It's the remnant. It's the holy remnant. Are you of the holy remnant? You've got to be dressed in uniform. You've got to have your eyes open. You've got to have your ears open. You've got to have your heart receiving it. Oh, listen. This is where we are. This is it. Yet there shall be a tenth. Oh, I want to be a part of that holy remnant. Listen, if you're here today and maybe your zeal is low, maybe you're not seeing the church or the standards or the Word of God, or you're not living like you used to, don't you know the Word says that unless we, what's the scripture, build again the things that we once destroyed. What's the rest of that scripture? It makes me a transgressor. We've got to stay with the Word. Stay with the holy Word of God, the doctrines, the standards, the truth. The Church of God, it's not one of many. It has one foundation. Show the house to the house. This is it. Don't be stupefied. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly, the Word says. I want to read one more scripture. I had many scriptures. I knew there was no way it could be given. I want to turn to Micah. Six. Starting at verse 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself, and before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, and the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath shewed thee, O man. What is good? What does the Lord require? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. I would like to say one more thing before I sit down. And I hope I can say it in a way that we can all have our eyes open to it, because it's part of what is happening to us. Have you noticed situations where it seemed like the Lord didn't hear prayer or answer? Happens all the time, doesn't it? Many times we focus on the unanswered things more so than on the answered things. The Lord wants you and me to mark the perfect man, to behold the upright. We can look at the people that fail, we can mark them, and it will have an effect. It will have an effect. And if we're not careful when we mark those that fail, and we allow that to have an effect in our life, it affects our vision of the church. It clouds it, it colors it, changes it. We've read to you that the Lord said, well, I'm going to just allow this to happen, that their ears be heavy, their eyes closed, and their heart is stupefied. I'm going to allow that to happen. I've watched this down through the last number of years. that there are, and it was brought out in the very first message of our meeting here, gainsayers. Do we have gainsayers among us? Do you know what a gainsayer is? Let me see if I think I wrote it down. It's one who denies as truth or worthy of consideration. One that speaks against. Criticizes, if you please. Denies that the power of God is working. Our country went through a time where it said that God was dead. Didn't it? And then people began to say, "My God is alive," and put it on their bumper stickers. Did you know God is going to allow some people to believe He is dead? And He will allow some people to believe that He is powerless, that He's not answering prayer as He once did. Why? Because their heart is stupefied. Because their ears are dull of hearing and their eyes they have closed. And I've watched this right among us. Have a serious case on hand. Looks dark. I'll give you one case. Sarah Wisner, when she was a little girl in school, one day at lunch, another child was trying to tease her and actually went ahead and spilled boiling water down her arm. Sister Patsy and I were fasting that day. I'm so glad we were. The Lord worked a miracle. Her skin came off when we took her clothes off. That's how bad it was. It was a severe burn. Could have been many times worse, except the Lord had mercy. The Lord took away the pain. The Lord, you just wouldn't have believed it if you hadn't seen it with your own eyes, but the Lord did that. Sister Patsy drove her home, and in the days that followed, it looked bad. And the word had gone out among us. And there were those that were calling and asking, "How is Sarah? How is Sarah? How is Sarah?" We could never give a good report because it looked like infection was setting in. Another time, Sarah, when she was just a little bit older, she was up in a tree across the street from her house. And she fell out of the tree and broke her shoulder real bad. They took her to be set. They said it needed surgery. She would never use her arm normally again. Painted a real dark picture. Again. I'm telling you these two cases because I'm very familiar with them, but I've watched it down through the years, and this really happens. As long as people who are really not wanting to see the miracle, not really wanting, don't really have goodwill, criticizing, they should have done this, they should have done that. As long as those people were calling and asking about her, she was not healed. As soon as they gave up, that child was healed. Those that didn't want to see it, didn't see it. Now ask ourselves, do we want to see it? I want to see it too. Do you want to see the church in its glory? It's in you. It's in me. I've observed this. Individuals, and we all are pretty well familiar with those who are really not for the truth that come among us. I've observed many times when some of them come, we will have a dead service. And you can just imagine what they're saying as they go out the door. Well, didn't expect any more than that anyway. Do you know why? Their hearts are stupefied. Their ears are dull of hearing. They have shut their eyes, and God's not going to let them see it. I want to read one more scripture. I'm sorry. Matthew 13. This was read, Brother Stanley read this, about walking in the light. And as he read it, it came down to the last part of the last verse. And I want to read this to you. Matthew 13, and let's see, about 15. Where did you read that? No, it was it John you read in about the light? Okay, it's John 12, I'm sorry. John, the 12th chapter. What? Well, it's John, it's the one in John that I want, the 12th chapter, because it's the last part of it that I want. Verse 35 and 36, that's where it is. Okay. Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. But look at the rest of the verse. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. The truth can be hid from you and me simply because of how I receive it or don't receive it. Jesus hid himself from them. He said it. And then he hid. This is the burden that I have for the church of God. Show the house to the house. How do we see it? Do we see it in its original glory? If you do, it's because you have the glory within you. If you see the church in its beauty, it's because the beauty is right here. If you've got that vision, it'll stay with you. Nobody can take that vision from you. No matter who fails, no matter who doesn't do what, no matter who does not come, no matter who preaches and how they preach, I'm not going to be affected because the beauty is right here.